Hey guys, this is Ian Happ from the Chicago Cubs. I'm excited to announce that my show, The Compound, is now part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Join me and my teammates Dakota Mekas and Zach Short. This week, we welcome Cubs first baseman, World Series champion Anthony Rizzo to The Compound. Check it out. Subscribe. The Compound on the Blue Wire Podcast Network.
Blue Wire.
Cousins, Thielen, he's got it!
Garoppolo over the middle,
intercepted, Harrison Smith, it's caught! It's Kyle Rudolph with a Viking touchdown!
Alright, welcome in everybody, welcome to Bleeding Purple, podcast about the Minnesota Vikings. I'm your host, Adam Patrick from thevikingage.com. We are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and we are brought to you by betonline.ag. As always, I am joined by Eric Strack from MinnesotaSportsFan.com. Eric, I had a nice bowl of cereal this morning since we're recording in the mornings now. What is the, if you had only one cereal to eat for the rest of your life, what would that cereal be?
That is an easy answer because I only really eat one cereal because I am a 12-year-old and it is Lucky Charms every time, no doubt. It's my 100% go-to, and my cereals behind Lucky Charms don't get any more mature. Big Captain Crunch guy, all berries preferably. Let's see. I used to really like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup cereal when I was a kid, but I haven't eaten that in a long time, probably partly because my daughter is allergic to peanut butter. So, You know, we don't really buy too much peanut butter cereal. But yeah, I don't like Cheerios, don't like Wheaties. I found out
Cheerios and Wheaties.
Okay. So maybe it's just my wife. Maybe I'm the normal one and she's not, but like, My wife was raised like so much healthier than me. Like the cereal she goes to are like fiber cereals, shredded wheat, Cheerios. Like that's the cereal she goes to, and she knows it's partly because she's healthy. But
you're married to a senior citizen?
Yeah, that's the cereal that she was raised on. For me, like. And my kids, it's funny because my kids will eat that stuff too. So it's like if you feed your kids healthy stuff from the beginning, they might actually like it. I've learned because my daughter eats Cheerios all the time. Like
just plain Cheerios?
Plain Cheerios. Like do you put sugar in your Cheerios?
Yeah, if I have plain ones, yes.
Yes. I used to put sugar in mine too. My wife looked at me the first time I asked her if she was going to put sugar in those Cheerios. Like I had just murdered somebody, just stabbed them in the heart and pulled it out and just let them die on the floor. And she's like, why would you put sugar in Cheerios? I'm like, because they're plain and gross. And so that was, yeah. And ever since, kids, no sugar in Cheerios or anything like that. So good. It's good to know I'm the normal one. When you live with somebody for so long, they almost brainwash you into thinking their odd behaviors are normal. So it's good to know that I'm the normal one.
Yeah, that's...
about you?
Usually I go, speaking of Cheerios, apple cinnamon Cheerios.
Oh, okay. Are you an Apple Jacks guy?
No. Those aren't even close to being similar.
They don't taste like apples, I've heard, too.
No. I don't even know what they taste like. There's a cereal that doesn't... I don't know if it exists anymore. It was called Waffle Crisp. That cereal was so good. And then I used to be a fan of the Rice Krispie Treat cereal, but then they changed like how it is, and they added like marshmallows now, and I'm just like... This isn't the same.
They have regular Rice Krispie cereal. My kids eat that too.
Oh yeah, they have regular
Crackle Pop.
Yeah. And if I had that, I add sugar to it too. Just like you probably would too. I'm not eating this.
My daughter just had some of those this morning. Plain, had two bowls. Just could have eaten a whole another couple. I bet.
She just slices of bread too. Just plain. Jesus.
Well, my wife is weird and plain like that. Like, she doesn't have like syrup on her waffles or on her pancakes. Like, just a little bit of butter, and she eats them plain.
Maybe you're married to an alien, not
that would explain a lot. That would definitely explain a lot.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, let's get to some Vikings talk. The first topic we have is Vikings related. Just because, you know, it's the off season. There's not a whole lot to talk about right now. But yesterday, some pretty, I would say, big news came out yesterday. I think NFL Network's Ian Rappaport came out and reported that multiple players from the Cowboys and Texans have tested positive for COVID-19, including Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott, who I think has either disputed it or just been mad that it got out. Yeah, because his agent leaked something, and then he was like, "No, he didn't." But it's related to the Vikings because they play both the Cowboys and Texans next season. They travel to Houston to play the Texans. I believe it's week 4, and then later on in the season they host the Cowboys in US Bank Stadium. Is just since it's June and the season is still, you know, a couple months away, is this anything to, you think, worry about at this point, or do you think it's better to maybe just to get some of these positive cases out of the way so the league can figure out, you know, better ways to maybe handle it if something happens during the season? Because I think it's pretty inevitable that someone's probably going to test positive during the season. They're going to have to figure out what to do.
Yeah, I think that we have a virus running amok around the country and the rest of the world. And if somebody happens to get it and you come in contact with that person in a specific way, most likely, from what we know, bodily fluids of some sort, sneezing, something landing on you, blah, blah, blah. Just like exactly how you get the flu in the wintertime, except we don't have a vaccine. We don't have, drugs that we know of that make this one better. So, I expect this to happen. I expect there to be more positive cases. I expect there to be cases propping up all over the place because there were riots and protests and people gathering all over the country, and it's just not really surprising. But at the same time, just like if a flu goes through an entire locker room in the NHL, which happens almost every year, it gets talked about, it's worse in some locker rooms than it is in others, and when you have well-maintained athletes like this, the question isn't really how it's going to affect them, because 99.999% of them are going to get mild symptoms, maybe flu-like symptoms. Maybe it could get kind of bad for some of them to where they're maybe in bed, whatever, coughing a lot. Mm-hmm. But they're likely going to get better. They're going to recover, and then they're going to be able to play football, play basketball, play hockey, whatever it is. To me, that's why I don't really understand a lot of these questions. What we should really be focusing on is how are we keeping these athletes away from elderly people and people who are in high-risk categories while they're playing? Their coaches could be one of them. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's something that we should be talking about. Like, for me, that's a legitimate conversation. What's not a legitimate conversation is million-dollar, well-trained, well-everything athletes who...
So many supplements.
Like
vitamins.
They're all just like, now they're all of a sudden they're afraid, or they don't want to play because of this, or they don't want to play because of that. And it's just like, look, you aren't in a risk category. Like, there are people going to work all over the world, all over the country, who are in higher risk categories, who are going into workplaces that are close, that are doing their best to social distance. And I get it. They're not paid to tackle each other. They're not paid to like swap spit, so to speak, in a non-sexual way. Like, that, I get that. Most people aren't paid to do the things that athletes are paid to do, and that puts them at higher risk of contracting the virus, but it doesn't put them at a higher risk of dying from the virus or getting deathly sick or getting really, really, really sick. So for me, I think we're asking the wrong questions a lot of times when we're talking about COVID-19 and the effect that it has. And that's what has a lot of people believing, not that it's a hoax, but that news outlets and mainstream media are out to scare people. And that's and it's because when you look at some of the questions they're asking, you go, why? We get it. COVID-19 is the virus. It kills people. It's killed over 100,000 people in this country alone. But it kills a very specific part of the population. So let's talk about that and how we protect those people and go from there.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of unknown about the virus and its effects. But at the same time, yeah, it doesn't. What we do know so far is that it's probably not going to affect a player who's a superstar athlete who gets paid millions of dollars, in the NFL, the NBA, or baseball, or whatever sport they play. It's probably most likely not going to really affect them. It's going to be like a cold or a mild flu or something like that. You know, something that Stefon Diggs got last year when he missed practice.
Took me a second.
I was waiting for you to catch
that one. Yeah, that one took me a second. That was impressive.
But at the same time, this stuff is coming out that like these players tested positive. I just find it very hard to believe that these are like some of the first players to test positive
for sure.
This whole time, there's like what, like 1,500 NFL players. There has had to be way more than just these players. And
but the thing about it is, until they're in camp and they're in house, you're not going to be testing them. So they might have felt like shit 2 weeks ago.
That's true.
And they just thought that they felt like shit, and now they feel better. And so that's the thing too. My wife and I have talked about it. Like, we talk about my wife a lot on this podcast. It's kind of weird, but she
she's gonna
is
have to come on a minute.
Yeah, right. She's a nurse anesthetist. Like, she intubates people at the hospital, and she works at one of the biggest hospitals in Minneapolis. And she's not directly working with COVID patients, but you can't tell me that one person that she has come across in that hospital, and I know for a fact that she's worked with nurses who have worked on COVID floors. So I was talking to her, I'd love to see these antibody tests. I know that the antibody tests don't necessarily tell us that we're immune to getting a different mutated version of the virus or whatever the case is, but it would just be good to know like how my body handled it when it got whatever it was the first time. If you have antibodies, then you've dealt with some sort of COVID-19, some sort of COVID virus. Your body has dealt with it, and it has created antibodies to fight it off. So just to know that, whether it's a different strand or whatever it is, your body's already fought off COVID one time successfully, would be a really good thing to know. You're going to start seeing those rapidly dispersed out, I think, as we get more positive tests for COVID-19, the conversation is going to switch to how many people have antibodies.
Yeah.
Like, we have the money, we have the capability to get antibody tests. Let's get antibody tests. We're the NFL, and let's start testing our players for antibodies and see who's already had the virus and go from there. And that to me would be just as interesting as a COVID-19 test itself. How many? Because it would kind of give us a snapshot. These people are coming from all over the country. Some of them in some sports all over the world. So like, what if you tested thousands of players, or even in the NBA, hundreds of players, and 40% of them have antibodies? I mean, would it be too much? I'm not a stats person. I got a D+ in stats class and walked out happy in college. But like, to me, that, yeah,
calculator.
Yeah. To me, that kind of would tell us that that's probably a pretty good snapshot of what the whole world might look like, what the whole country might look like. If 40% of 1,000 people has it that came from all over the different backgrounds, different places, then who's to say that 40% of the whole world or the whole country doesn't have antibodies built up?
Yeah, I think it was Richard Sherman I saw yesterday said something that I agreed with, because he was just like, there's only so much you can do. Like, we can't test. We're not going to test the bus drivers. We're not going to test the flight attendants. You know, we're not going to test the refs. We're not going to test the chain gang or whatever, you know, with the first down lines every day. So, like, there's only so much you can do to prevent, you know, this from spreading or players not getting it. And at some point, you just have to, you know, go on with your life and just, you know, if you get it, you get it, and you deal with it, and that's it. And then, but right now, these guys are trying to get back to the, you know, their livelihood, and whether it's with fans or not, you know, that's yet to be determined. But based on everyone, thousands of people gathering in the street, it's looking like fans, at least half the stadiums, you know, that possibility is probably a lot better than it used to be, depending on how everything goes, if there's a huge spike or whatever after all these protests. Cause
yeah, that's the one unknown.
That's going to be the interesting thing to see. One other thing relating to the Vikings and the viruses, I do believe that Eric Kendrick's grandfather passed away from COVID-19. So there is someone who has been affected by it on the Vikings. I don't think any player or coach has tested positive. That's been made public, at least.
And I don't want to, like,
I think Mike Zimmer is 64. So he's one of the people that's very absolutely at risk, especially with his health, you know,
who knows? Yeah. Underlying health conditions for all sorts of older coaches in the NFL. And that's really, to me, that's the conversation that we should be having, is
keep
there's
Bud
a lot of
Grant older out of the facilities.
Okay. Yes. Get Bud Grant out of the facilities. Like, you know, I mean, the NFL and all leagues around the world, like, especially with where the media is right now on coronavirus. Okay. Like, what's the one highest risk that could really ruin everything? One of your coaches literally dying from COVID-19 would send the world into shockwaves as far as sports and is it worth it and this and that. Like, to me, if owners themselves and leagues aren't having these conversations and saying, each owner going, look, we're 80 years old. We don't want it either. We know that we don't want our coaches to get it. Like, essentially, we're banning, if you are under the age of 60 years old, you are not allowed in facilities. Like, if that means a coach, then until we get a vaccine, you're coaching from home. You're going to have to figure out a way to have video of every single practice. You're going to have to figure out a way to make it work. Like, it's just the way it is. If that's what they have to do, then that's what they have to do. But again, it's going to come down to, it's already starting, really. It's already starting. Younger people, people who aren't in the higher risk age groups, it's not just about being selfish. It's about money. It's about freedom. It's about, like, you know, what, I tweeted it yesterday, like, what rights are okay to, like, go out and risk coronavirus? Because protesting, the right to assemble and peacefully protest, clearly has been deemed a right that is worthy of possibly getting COVID.
Thrown out the window.
But there are all sort, like, the country was built on individual rights. The right to assemble and protest was just one of those rights. So what rights are okay to possibly get coronavirus for, and what aren't, like, and who gets to decide and who doesn't? Like, that's kind of, you know, as important as these protests and the freedom to assemble are in general, like, the other rights are important too. So, you know, it's just, it really got murky when all of these protests and riots started happening, especially with just the amounts of people, because it really begs to question what should and shouldn't be protected from coronavirus when it comes to rights. And that's what we're going to see happening as we go down this line, as people are going to become more and more like, we can't be afraid of this. We can't be afraid of this. And more and more people are going to say that, like, we can't be afraid of this. Look at the numbers, look at the stats, and a certain part of the population, those numbers and stats don't look good. So yeah, you're going to have to protect yourself if you are one of those people.
There's a lot of head coaches in the NFL who are over just 60. Like, there's Bruce Arians, he's 67. There's Bill Belichick, he's 67. I believe Pete Carroll, yep, he's 68.
Yeah, Pete Carroll is so much older than people think.
Yeah, he looks younger.
Plays himself off younger, too.
But there's a lot of older head coaches who are very important to their team who are in the at-risk category. So it'll be interesting to see, if one of them tests positive or becomes, you know, very sick, what's going
to
happen.
The other thing, too, is we're going to have to get over this whole fair thing, right? Like, coming back with coronavirus isn't going to be fair. Like, we can look at this by itself. I was just thinking, but are some teams going to say, no, our coach is really important. It's not fair if we can't have him in house.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah. Throw that out the window.
Yes. All of the like, and those are a lot of the conversations that are going on around the MLB negotiations, NFL negotiations, NBA, like, well, what we need to make it fair for everybody. Look, we are in unprecedented times. Like, if there's any moment where life isn't fair is going to ring truer, it's right now. And like, that's just the way it is. Life isn't fair. And in some instances, life needs to be fair. It's the only way to properly run a society. But when it comes to bringing sports back, fairness isn't necessarily on the top of the food chain when it comes to coronavirus specifically. And that's what we need to remember. So
yeah, sure. You can be fair, but then, you know, one of your coaches dies. So
One of your coaches dies or you don't have a league, right? Like, you're just not going to come back because eight of your coaches are at high risk and you don't want them to die. So then you shut down the whole league because that's fair. Like, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to make money. Like, this isn't fair. Life isn't fair. So
especially today, there's a lot of ways to get around and do things virtual. They just proved that with the draft and all their, you know, mini camps, virtual mini camps that they had and things like that. So there's ways around it. I know every coach would probably prefer to do all this stuff in person. But to think, you know, thinking about it, they're in their office a lot of the time, looking at film and stuff. So there isn't really a huge difference between,
and people have gotten really used to living with coronavirus. Like, Mike Zimmer isn't going to have issues with a Zoom call anymore. You know, he would have when you first started, but now he's not going to have issues with a Zoom call. He's probably done 300 of them
I'm sure he doesn't like it.
Yeah. But you know, it just, again, and.
But it's not like, about that right now.
Not only is it not about that right now, but this this is such a short snapshot of our life. Like, I know it's really hard to remember that. And I want to get out too, right? And I'm the one tweeting, open it up, full stadiums. Like, I'm the one tweeting that. Yeah. But at the same time, like, this is a small snapshot of life. So, yes, I want to get back to reality. But if it means that Mike Zimmer doesn't get to coach his team on the sideline until we get a vaccine, like, that's my point. A vaccine is coming. It might not be as early as October or November or December or January, even like we had first hoped. Maybe it takes the full year or the full year and a quarter or a year and a half to get the vaccine, like people said it would from the very beginning. Well, still, like, we're still getting a vaccine. That's still 1 year of our hopefully 80-year life, something we're going to talk about forever with our kids. But 5 years from now, we're going to be right back to normal. We're going to have full stadiums, full workplaces, full everything. And other than a talking point, we're going to mostly forget about COVID-19. So don't lose your life because you want to coach on the sidelines. Like, you know, don't make this a headline that we remember for 10 years. NFL coach dies because they coached on the sideline of an NFL football game instead of staying home. Like, let's not make that a headline. Like, let's do things as smart as possible as we get things back up and going. And remember that we're going to have a worst case scenario, especially for football. We will have a vaccine by the 2021-2022 season. So we'll go one season without a vaccine. And then we'll have a vaccine. So let's do what we can this season, make it as awesome as we possibly can and remember that this isn't life forever.
For sure. My son was born this year, and you know, when they had those like books or whatever, like what happened in your the year you were born? his is gonna be like an encyclopedia.
Yeah,
so much stuff happened.
Yeah, you won't have to. You won't even have to Google that.
No, it's only halfway over. So,
yeah.
But before we get to anything else, just mentioned in the beginning, we're brought to you by Bet Online. So there's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, BetOnline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and Bet Online is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. So looking for something else other than sports, Bet Online has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE, which is all one word, for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. Bet Online, your online wagering experts. So, moving on to a topic that is way more associated with the Vikings, which is Adam Rank's annual predictions. Adam Rank from NFL Network, I believe. He does fantasy stuff and things like that.
Yeah.
But each year...
He does something, all right.
He predicts the records for each team. He goes one by one. And this year, he has the Vikings going 7-9 and finishing third in the NFC North. He has the Packers going 8-8 and the Bears going 10-6. Now, Mr. Adam Rank is a known Chicago Bears fan. So it's no surprise that he has the Bears going 10-6 and winning the division with what, Nick Foles is their quarterback, maybe for the whole season if he can last.
Yeah.
Wow,
like I'm just trying to think. Like, who does Chicago have? Like
Khalil
they
Mack. They traded
for Khalil Mack and didn't like that looked really good at the time, but didn't they give up a bunch to get him? And like they including did. Draft picks that they didn't get this year, and like what at least one or two like contributors to their team, right?
They have Cordarrelle Patterson. Okay,
right. So, that is true.
There you
that's,
go.
Yeah, that is. All you that's, need. That,
he's
that explains it all.
Jack of all trades. You can line him up in the backfield, receiver, kick returner, tight end, punter.
Yep, he's just been underutilized, and they're gonna figure it out.
Yeah, he's gonna
I'm
be.
Now.
Yeah,
now that
he's the new
13-3 might not be good enough.
What's his name? Oh, he's the new Taysom Hill. but like, do you see this and just laugh? Because last year, I believe he predicted the Vikings to go 5-11, and that didn't turn out. And
I'm definitely not gonna let Adam Rank get me triggered. I can promise you that.
I think he predicted the 49ers to be 3-13 last year too, and they made the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But. I see this stuff and I know they have to do it because it's their job, but I look at it and then I think some of his reasoning for why he thinks the Vikings are going to go 7-9 is just they have a lot of new faces, which sort of is and sort of isn't true because the guys that are going to step up and be the starters this year were already on the roster. So guys like Ifedi Odenigbo and Mike Hughes and Holden Hill, those guys were. They were already on the roster, so I wouldn't really classify those guys as new faces. Yes, they got a lot of rookies, but so did every other team. So I'm not. And he included. I mentioned this on Twitter. He included Anderson Dejo as one of the biggest losses of the offseason for the Vikings. A guy who didn't even start at safety, so that's a huge loss for the Vikings. I don't know how they're gonna go on without it. Him and, you know, J'Ron Curse, you know, hopefully they'll be able to recover from
J'Ron, you know. Curse was more important than Anderson Dejo.
But
at least we used him in that big nickel package.
Yeah.
Sendejo is just a backup.
It's just
straight up backup.
It's just this prediction is just, it's just laughable because the Vikings just made the playoffs, and they're returning so many of their players that helped them get to the playoffs last year. And I've seen this a lot, like, oh, the Vikings are going to be 8-8 or 7-9, and just like, did they lose half their team? Is their quarterback not coming back?
Well, is, see, that's the thing,
running
is
back
that
not coming back.
So the thing for me is, it's easily explainable when you just like look at the way a national media person is going to break down the Vikings. So like, you're a national media person and you don't like Kirk Cousins. All right.
And a lot
of national guys don't. Right. So you don't like Kirk Cousins. So you go, all right, I got to look at the NFC North. They still have Dalvin Cook. All right. How's their offensive line? They drafted Ezra Cleveland. Okay. So they haven't fixed their biggest problem so far. They lost Stephon Diggs, so they don't have Stephon Diggs anymore.
Oh,
they still have Thielen.
Huge loss.
And then they're looking at it, and they go to the defensive side of the ball. Where were they? Where are the Vikings to national people? Not to us, but where national people think Vikings are known to be great? Secondary. Xavier Rhodes gone. Trey Wayne's gone. Mackenzie Alexander gone. Like, oh, all of their starting secondary is gone. Where are they at on defensive line? Lost Everson Griffin. Lost Linval Joseph. Like, When you're a national media person, all you're doing is looking at the top cover page of an offseason and going, geez, the Vikings look like a completely different team, young secondary, a quarterback I don't trust, an offensive line that's never really been good, and they didn't do anything to fix it. And they're going, all right, well, yeah, I mean, they're not going to be terrible. They'll be 8-8. All right, let's go to the next team. And then you go down the NFC North, and you realize, wow, I just kind of have to pick one of these teams that doesn't look very good on paper and pick them to win the division. So then you give them a record. Do they win? Is it one of those years where somebody wins the division at 9-7, at 10-6, you know, something like that? So then you just pick whichever team you like most. And for Adam Rank, he's a Bears fan, so he picks the Bears. He gives them a ridiculous record, and he calls it good and goes, I can't wait for this social media backlash. Like, that's that's what a national guy like Adam Rank does. So it doesn't shock me. And I don't think he's necessarily reaching just to piss people off. I think that when national people who don't realize Xavier Rhodes hasn't been good for 2 years. Alexander was possibly our best guy, but he was in the slot and he was injured a lot of the times. And
Linval was getting
Linval. Yep. He was. Yeah, exactly. And so for fans and for Minnesota media who dig in a little bit more deeper and you look at how bad the NFC North is, you start to feel better about the Vikings' chances. But if you're just a national person who's just pulling everything up and you got to write something for every single team, it doesn't shock me. We're going to see a lot of 8-8s, 9-7, which I'm fine with. I mean, those make for great blogs. Adam Rank says the Vikings are going to suck. This person says the Vikings are going to suck. Like, we eat that stuff up. I'll take the clicks. No problem. And then when we're better than that, then we get a chance to say, ha ha ha, you guys underrated Minnesota again.
Yep.
So it's kind of our perfect, it's kind of a perfect situation for me. I'm all in.
Eric, shamelessly taking those clicks.
I will shamelessly take all of your clicks. Bring them to MinnesotaSportsFan.com. However you got to get there.
They have to come out with these predictions. Like you said, the national media, I feel like they always underestimate the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And then they forget
Fly over
that,
country.
Yeah, and they forget in 2017 the Vikings got to the NFC Championship with Case Keenum as their quarterback and Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray as their starting running backs. So,
well,
losing,
and to build on that point, just quickly, I promise, quickly this time.
Yeah.
To build on your point, every time the Vikings are good with Zimmer, it's a year where they're not really expected to be that good. And then every year that they're supposed to be good, they're not good. So
I think it was even before Zimmer. This is just how they've always been. Like, no one in 98 thought they were going to go 15-1.
That's true. That's true.
Or there's just a bunch of years where, like, I know they got Brett Favre in 2009, but I don't think many people expected them to do as well as they did with him as the quarterback, especially since he was coming off a okay season with the Jets the year before. So there's a lot of times when the Vikings are underestimated and they do well. It's the seasons where they have the big expectations mm-hmm. where they seem to fall flat on their face with, you know, 2018, 99, 2010. Those are the seasons where they're like, like everything just like snowballs and unravels and just, you know, so these seasons, these off seasons are of being underestimated. I'll take these all day, every day, you know, bring them on, predict the Vikings to be, predict them to be last place for all I care. Like yeah. predict the Lions to be better. I don't care. Keep doing it. Mike Zimmer's going to be like, oh, look, no one thinks you guys are good. So go out there and just be undefeated.
That's the thing, too. Hopefully from his Zoom call so that he's not contracting COVID-19.
yeah. yeah. Well, you know what? It's a reality. So, the last thing we're going to talk about is a person we love talking about on the show.
Yes.
His name is Josh Allen.
Yep.
Is he a quarterback for?
The most impressive thing I've ever seen him do is jump over somebody. So yeah, yeah. That's I don't know what he is, but
he can
people
throw,
say he's
but,
a quarterback.
Never on target. You know, but I've been told he's one of the best, you know, short range passers in the NFL.
So but he's got a cannon. So
good
he's
thing,
just
yeah, good thing he's got that cannon.
Yep, that cannon for those short passes.
Yeah, good thing he can do that. But recently he had the chance to work out with his new teammate, former Vikings receiver Stephon Diggs down in Florida. They had a nice enhanced game of catch down there with no defense, no pads. Just playing catch, and I think a little later he met with some media, and he was asked about, you know, his new teammate, and I'll just read to you what he said. He said it was quote, "It was very, very awesome to see just the amount of detail that he puts into his craft, how communicative he was, how willing he was to learn. And he wasn't there for himself. He was there for the betterment of the team and wanted to hang out with the guys. He wanted to learn and get to know the guys. And I thought that was pretty special. You hear all these crazy stories in the media. And I think he's just had a bad rap where he was at." Excuse me? He had a bad rap? Or bad rep in Minnesota? Did Josh Allen forget about the Minneapolis Miracle?
Yeah.
He's completely wrong, isn't he?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. I have fought enough dig stands on Twitter to definitely know that he doesn't get a bad rap in Minnesota. There are plenty of people that he started rubbing
the
wrong way.
He's the closest thing to Randy Moss.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Some of those people are concerned.
Yeah, for sure. But like what happened was after the Minneapolis Miracle, Stephon Diggs was beloved here. The only thing that he has going against him, and I won't even say against him, but Adam Thielen is the homegrown boy. So like he's always going to have that. So, you know, it's almost like if Chris Carter was from Minnesota while Randy Moss was here, I don't know if Moss ever would have gotten to the point of like legend, not that he didn't deserve it as far as skill, but just the way fans think of him because they would have just had so much love for Chris Carter because he's homegrown like they do for Thielen. So, I mean, he kind of had that working against him a little bit, but after the Minneapolis Miracle, everybody here loved him. What happened was he started sending all these weird tweets, missing practice, coming up with stupid excuses. And for the kids who are on Twitter, who are all about like the passive aggressive tweets and that social media game and like, you know, sticking it to the man or whatever the kids are down with these days, like that didn't stop them from loving Stephon Diggs. Yeah. But the older generation, mostly people from the younger generation too, but the people who really just love the Vikings and have loved them forever and were around for Moss and Carter and even before that, and To them, it's not about Stefon Diggs. It's about the Vikings. He started rubbing those fans the wrong way. And the more he did it, the more fans got irritated. Like, you saw it. The first time he started tweeting passive aggressively, and you kind of realized it was about the Vikings, the stands that came out for Diggs were in the hundreds. Like, comments just rolling up. I can't believe you're hating on Stefon Diggs, the beloved Stefon Diggs. But then by the time we were writing like the last ones before he got traded, there was a lot less of that. And it's because he just wore out the whole welcome, thinking like, oh, these 10,000 likes that I got on this tweet, that's cool. Like, that's what people want. No, Diggs, that's not, like, that's the problem that people have with like Twitter and social media. The 10,000 likes that you got on Twitter, that doesn't necessarily mean that the millions of people who love the Vikings like what you're doing.
People and, like tweets or whatever when people are like, my grandpa passed away, and they like it. I'm like, wait a minute, why are you liking this? Like, right. There's like thousands of likes. I'm like, that's not how this works.
That's exactly right. So it's like, too much of the world in both mainstream media, with athletes, with entertainers, with government officials, they believe that Twitter speaks for the larger population when oftentimes it doesn't.
2%.
It's like 2%. So like, that's the one thing our entire society, not just Stefon Diggs, not just athletes, but government officials, everybody need to kind of realize that Twitter isn't the spoken volume around the country. And the more you think it is, the more we're probably going to run into problems. And it's something that our entire country is dealing with on a deeper level. But with Stefon Diggs, it's like, bro, just because you got 10,000 likes on this stupid tweet doesn't mean that people actually like it. Like, that doesn't mean that people like you more for tweeting this. Like, it's that attention, me. And that's what bothered people. And that's what rubbed people the wrong way. So, Josh Allen, just wait, man. Just you'll throw a pass over his head. Maybe not practice, but wait until the game, and then we'll see. You know, you'll see. Yeah, you'll start getting people instead of Kirk Cousins getting like infiltrated with Diggs mentions. It'll be you. You'll have to turn off Twitter because you'll be having everybody send you a Stefon Diggs tweet. And after the 13th time of that happening, you might be annoyed by it. And we'll see what you have to say then.
And I just think it's funny that he said he has a bad rep, which you can describe, like you said, the 2019 season, you can pretty much say that. But before that, he's beloved, and he's still beloved by a lot of Vikings fans. I would say I'm still a fan of Stefon Diggs. I want to see him do well. It helps that he's in the AFC, so I don't really care what he does. Yeah, Josh Allen should probably do a little more research on someone who's going to be his number one target. You know, this makes me feel, for some people this might not even matter, but it makes me feel even less confident in Josh Allen because he doesn't even know about his top receiver, like how much he was adored with his last team. Like, you can't figure that out. And I always hear like quarterbacks or other NFL players just being like, oh, I had no idea, or I was totally unaware. And that's a lie. They know what's going on. They know all about the guys in the locker room. And I just saw this quote and I was like, are you serious? Like, you think that this is actually truthful, that like he got a bad rep in Minnesota? And like all these, yeah, the crazy stories part was funny too, because like, okay, there was the time he missed practice, okay, he was fined, that was taken care of, and then he had the tweet after Kirk Cousins got his extension, and then that's pretty much the extent of like all the drama that Diggs created. Like,
well, that's like, but that's the thing, he created all of it.
Oh yeah, he did.
Like,
that's
the problem. Like, it wasn't about like, this isn't.
Oh, we hate him for our, you know.
Oh, he's being too fiery on the field. I don't like it when he throws his helmet or he gets really mad on the field. Like, it's not like he's doing things. I hear
Everyone
a lot of times
that too.
That's what I was just gonna say. I hear a lot of times, well, you don't get mad at Stefon or at Adam Thielen when he does stuff that Diggs does. I don't get mad at Diggs when he has arguments with Kirk Cousins on the sideline. I don't get mad at Diggs when he looks fiery
logical,
on the sideline.
Logical people don't.
Right. Like, that's not what we get irritated about. For us, it's when you go and because anybody who's competed in sports, like anybody who's been a part of a workplace, a family, of anything, like you have arguments, you have disagreements, especially in sports when you're going to be closer with your teammates than like a normal workplace. Yeah. Like, you're going to have fiery arguments. You might even yell at each other. You might even cry sometimes. Like, you're together all the time and you are on the field. You're hitting each other. You're hitting other people. Like, it's an emotional game. That stuff is going to happen. Most fans love that stuff. Give us more of that. You know, like, give us less of Joe Buck screaming at people about what they're doing when they're expressing emotions, and more emotions. Like, we love that. What we don't love is the passive aggressive tweets at your teammates. Like, that is the stuff that rubbed everybody the wrong way. Skipping practice and then coughing. Like, if that rubs fans the wrong way,
truth to all rumors.
How do you think that teammates feel? Like, yeah. They're not happy about certain things. They're not happy about playing time sometimes. They're not happy with other players sometimes. They're not happy with contracts that other players are getting compared to them sometimes. But they still come to work. So what does that say about you to them, to the other 50 guys in the locker room? Like, though, and like you said, for Josh Allen to pretend that he hasn't heard or talked to anybody else, if Josh Allen hasn't talked to one of Stefon Diggs' teammates before Stefon Diggs arrived on to their into their facility, then Josh Allen is not going to be a successful quarterback in the NFL, not because of this, but because of a million other factors that says about him, that he's not willing to do his homework, that he's not willing to look into things. Like, you need those things to be a quarterback. So I would sure hope that he talked to teammates, that he did a little bit of his own research to see what he was getting himself into. And if he did, then all of this is a lie. So it's either a lie or he is not going to make it as an NFL quarterback because he doesn't care enough. That's my take on Josh Allen and this whole thing.
Oh, listen, man, he's super focused. You know, he's working on his mechanics and everything, you know, stuff that he should already have perfected before he came in the NFL.
I'm so glad we have Kirk Cousins. Did you hear that, people? I am so glad we have Kirk Cousins, right? Like, and we don't have to deal with somebody like Josh Allen. Gosh,
where's my
wallet? I'm going to Vegas right now. What are these odds for MVP?
Oh, go on. Just go on Twitter and enjoy all the people trying to. I think it's just a bunch of Bills fans who are like, Josh Allen is. It's way better than Kirk Cousins.
Bills fans just want to have a little bit of hope. I can't get too mad at Bills. It's not like it's you know, Patriots fans thinking that they have a good team. Like, this is Bills fans just
been in the playoffs
hoping
once in 20
and
years.
praying that things go right.
Oh yeah, I'm from that area, so I'm very familiar with all the hopelessness of Bills fans. It's the same thing every year where they're like, oh, maybe we'll make the playoffs, and then. They yell on. They start off like 3-1. They're like, we're going to the Super Bowl, and then they finish like 6-10.
The only fan base that's more tortured than the Vikings.
God, you know the way this year is going, 2020. Would anyone be surprised if it was like the Bills and the Vikings in the Super Bowl?
God, that'd be the best Super Bowl ever.
Oh, it would. The way this year is going,
has got to go.
Right, and. Speaking of the way this year is going, the Vikings have to also just win the Super Bowl because that's how everything goes. You know, you had Hurricane Katrina, the Saints win. You know, you had.
Well, if we're going to be weird about 2020, why don't we just give all Minnesota sports teams the championships? Give us the weird year.
They're not even in the playoffs.
What?
T-Wolves aren't even
in the
playoffs. Well, the
T-Wolves, they don't really count. So let's go. Let's go wild. How about this? The T-Wolves get the number one pick. Okay. T-Wolves win the lottery. The Wild win the Stanley Cup. The Twins win the World Series. The Gophers go to the NCAA playoff. I'm not going to put and lump Gopher basketball into this. And the Vikings win the Super Bowl. We will take, like, Minnesota will take.
You forgot the Lynx? Come on.
They've already had their success, and I'm not going to say anything else. But we will take the weird year for our championships. Like, put an asterisk on it. Put an asterisk on 2020. Put an asterisk on all of the championships for Minnesota. Give them to us. We will take the weird year. That's it. Yeah. You guys can get back to normal, get back to all of the other states and cities and teams winning championships. Just give Minnesota the weird year. I'm in for that. Give us the weird year for every team, and I'll be happy.
Like all the, you know, when teams win and there's a lockout or a strike.
Yeah.
Like, just asterisk.
That's fine.
It's like, that's fine. You still get the same trophy.
Correct.
So
still same parade.
Say whatever you want. Who cares?
Exactly.
So I think that's what all we've got for today. So just remind everyone to go on Twitter and try and avoid all the digs stands. I feel super old saying that. And you know, Josh Allen stands. Just follow Bleeding Purple at Bleeding Podcast on Twitter. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review, a rating, you know, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But until next time, we'll talk to you later.
You can even download and not listen.
Download
and not listen. That's fine.
Oh, man. All right. Well, until next time, which is probably going to be later this week, we'll talk to you later.
Bye, fam.